Boreham Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Boreham Sports Podcast with your host, Tony Rice. Now just a few hours away from the big Lions fixture, the first test in three consecutive Saturdays against world champion South Africa. It is, for rugby fans, what it's all about. Well, I'm excited to build this exciting picture with two of the phenomenal men from the Verulaniums Rugby Club. It is returning to Verulam Sport, Jack Hegarty and Joe Breeze. Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Morning, Tony. Thanks for having us back. Nice intro. Yeah, we're all good. Yeah, looking forward to the game this afternoon. Feeling a little bit from Friday, but I've got my jersey on and
you
that's
have,
what matters.
I noticed. It's ready. You're ready. You're raring. I tell you what, that's almost a commitment to the build. I love it. We'll come though now quickly to Jack. And good morning, Jack.
Morning.
First of all, I mean, we're really excited. Obviously, I am for this huge game just a few hours away now. It's great, of course, that the tour's been on, but a strange tour, hasn't it? You know, they had to play the Sharks like twice. You know, there's been a bit of a peculiar tour all told, hasn't it?
Yeah, loads of ups and downs to this. I think this is like a one-off tour where you'll never see what's gone on in this tour ever again in terms of like the build-up to it, to what's happening on the tour, the selections, like, there's just so many different twists and turns in this journey.
And that began really way back against Japan because, of course, the talisman, Alan Wynne-Jones' dislocated shoulder, you'd think would be out. This man defies physics, human biology. Coming now back to Joe, a captain in your own right, understand the importance of a leader on the field. Just give me an idea of how important Wynne-Jones is going to be to today's fixture, but surely he can't be 100% fit.
Yeah, well, he's a massive boost, isn't he? And one thing that's great about him is that he's an insane squad player. Yeah. And when it was announced he was coming back, I half expected him, maybe not to make the playing side, but just to sort of have around the training camp, great for morale, great leadership, and really pick up the intensity. But yeah, having him back in, having him fit, well, we're going to see. I did think he'd probably start on the bench like Warburton did in the it was the New Zealand tour, I believe, the last one. But yeah, fit, we'll see. I think he's probably come back in a shorter space of time, probably because of his age, where he's I'm never going to get to do this again. If my shoulder goes and I have to retire from this, then he's gone out on a high. I think possibly if he was younger, if he was in his mid to late 20s, he probably wouldn't be here because, he doesn't want to risk that sort of permanent injury that's going to push him out for a long time. But we'll see. He's a freak.
He is.
He's an insane player.
I must say, I was impressed by what I saw with him in his kind of 30-minute cameo against the Stormers coming back last week. All over the park, making hits, crucially with that left shoulder lead. Very impressed with that cameo. But of course, it's not the same, is it? From that to defending rugby world champion South Africa, different world entirely he's facing just a few hours now.
Yeah, definitely. But I think he's up to the challenge. And I think one thing the Lions definitely missed from the South Africa A game is someone who can speak to the ref. I think Conor Murray's an exceptional player, a great leader, but I think he probably lacks that experience to be able to get in the ref's ear. And I think that's probably why Alan Wynne is maybe in as well. I think that's definitely crossed Gatland's mind, because if you think about, you've got to get your ref on side. It's a whole part of the game. Mm-hmm. And looking at the other captain candidates, maybe Hogg could do it quite well. Faz, he's a great Marmite, isn't he?
Just, no one quite possesses that skill as much as Alan Wynne-Jones does.
Absolutely.
You've seen it previously with Sam Walton in the last tour, especially in that last game where that last decision was so pivotal. And it's really a skill that is only owned by very few. And in this instance, Alan Wynne-Jones is someone that carries that.
I absolutely agree. And there could be so many different matters that develop out of that. I'm going to talk the referee TMO controversy in a bit. But before we do that, I want to focus in again on the game style. Two halfbacks here in tandem, the axis is always going to be critical to the results. You mentioned Conor Murray doesn't even make the team because Ali Price plays himself in. Jack, your thoughts on Price becoming our number one, number nine for the Lions?
Well, I think after the first few warm-up games, it started to shift in who people thought would be their starting nine, because Aidy Price came in with great form. And what was going for Conor Murray was his captaincy status and his presence within the team. But with Alan Wynne-Jones' shock return, I think that really opened the door to Aidy Price putting his hand up for the starting nine. And as we can see here, he's got to be for the starting nine. So I think that's really been the main pushing force behind it.
And do you think the bigger was the clear first choice 10? Yeah. There was anybody else that you would have considered? Faz, maybe? Or what would you say bigger definitely stepped up to the plate this tour?
I would say 10 is probably the hardest position to pick, really, because it really depends on what Warren Gatland wanted to play, like what Stye wanted to play. Because bigger and Farrell kind of fit the same mould in that sense. And I guess with biggest performances in the lead up to it, he just managed to edge ahead of Farrell.
And bringing Joe back in now, you mentioned there Stuart Hogg gets the nod at 15. We talk about the importance of form, and obviously he'd fallen out of the Exeter team. I mean, the guy oozes world-class for me in terms of his overall career and what he's capable of on a pitch. But I think Liam Williams is always going to be the guy that I slightly edge here. Would you have gone Williams, or are you happy that Hoggy's in?
I'm not sure. I think the entire back three is like, you could like pick those names out of a hat and it would be amazing, or you could debate anything. I think it depends on like the balance that, you know, Gatland wants to go for. Liam Williams, I think, is amazing defensively, like under the high ball. He's probably the best line we've got. But like Hogg is so good at creating and getting on the end of line. And I think where he's playing Daly at 13 is actual position. Daly's going to be great at getting on the outside. So then you've got someone like Hogg who's going to be that support runner. He's going to be, you know, testing the defence a lot more than I think Liam Williams would. It's an interesting one. There was thought that Liam Williams might take one of the wing spots as well.
That back three is so hotly contested, as you rightly say. I mean, for goodness sake, you're Josh Adams right now. You've got 8 tries on tour, 5 in one game. You're not even in the squad. You're thinking, what on earth more can I do?
I know, it's madness, isn't it? But to say that, has Duan van der Merwe played badly? Has Anthony Watson played badly? Absolutely not. That is how tight it comes. And I guess, you know, we see the test, we see the matches that they play. We don't really see the training you know, the little nuances in their play. But it is going to be interesting on the matchup, because obviously he's going for van der Merwe is going to be on Colby. And that's like, is van der Merwe going to be agile enough to keep up with Colby?
Is anybody on planet Earth right now? I mean, the guy's electrifying and showed that against the South African A game. That's going to be box office itself. Fascinating to talk back play here. The backs have got some pace. They've got some potency. No questions about it. But the oldest maxim in all of rugby is that the game is won up front and then the backs dictate the scoreline. Back to Jack. Crucial back row battle. I think you talk nuances there. I think the battle at the breakdown will always be key. Tom Curry gets the nods. I'm a Hamish Watson man, personally. Not much between them, but do you think the 6-7-8 for the Lions is what you would have chosen if you were Gatland?
Now, I would have gone along something similar, where South Africa got such presence in the line-out. So that sixth position, it was definitely a toss-up between Targ Byrne and Courtney Laws, because they're both converted lot to utilities now. And it was always going to be one of those two. And I actually think the seventh position, it's like across many positions in the Lions tour this year, it's so hotly contested, where Hamish Watson or Tom Curry, either of them starting a team and they'd be okay. And then the eight as well, Jack Conan, 4 years ago you didn't think he'd be starting. You hadn't even heard of him, and he's made, you know, a bolter of a run in the past 2 years to now be starting.
I think for me, one of the most disappointing things I've seen on tour has actually been the performances of the eights. I've not seen them really put in a shift to be in and around that breakdown. I think Jack Conan has stepped up, and I don't fault him being there, But other contenders, who I think maybe coming into the tour would have been most people's selections, for me, have not performed. That's one of the observations I've seen there. But Joe, am I being a little harsh there? And would it actually be fair and proper to say that Conan has really raised the bar?
Yeah, I think Conan, like, for what you would expect, is probably the one who's, like, stepped up the most. Like, going into tour, like, I would have put Faletau as one of my, like, the first names on my team sheet to start, and he doesn't make the 23. And I think that kind of is, like, a selection of form more than anything else. But, yeah, the back row is massive. And I think, like, he's gone for, like, the back row that is going to be extremely physical and just absolutely chop South Africa, because you've got to be physical against them. And someone like Courtney Laws, who he had a bit of a miraculous recovery this season's bake. He didn't even think he was going to be a Lion. And to him be starting at six, but you know he's there because he puts in those hits. Like, and it is a powerful back row. And like Jack said, you've got the extra line out option in there. But yeah, I think I probably still would have taken Faletau like in this 23. Definitely, maybe not start if he's not in the best form. But he's a player I think, like, I've never seen him have a bad game internationally. Like, where he might be withering a bit, I think if you put him in a, you know, the starting 15 against the Springboks in a Lions shirt, there's no way he's having a bad game. But yeah, it's just the way it goes. There will be rotations between the games, and I'm sure he will get game time. And then we'll see, won't we?
Absolutely. But let's not lose sight of the fact that this is a tremendous South African team. Defending champions, 21 of their 23-man squad. You make it real clear there to remind us all that rugby is now, and must always be, a squad game. It will not just be the 15. It'll be the time to bring on the subs, to rotate, as they call it, the bomb squad in the pack. But 21 or 23 players, Rugby World Cup. Maybe slightly undercooked because of COVID, but let's not lose sight of it. This is a stellar South African team, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They've not veered too much away from the World Cup winning side. I think, if anything, their pack is slightly weaker. I think the bomb squad is less of a bomb, more of a grenade at the moment, which, apart from maybe their front row, like, I think they've got a better front row on their bench than they actually do starting. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. And I think that's probably part of their game plan, isn't it? Like, you know, unload the front row that's insanely good halfway through the game, and, you know, might see things turn. But it's a phenomenal team, and there's X factor all round. I think the backs in particular, we speak so much about, like, South Africa being, like, heavily forward dominant, their backs are insane. Just the centre partnership alone, is it Lukanya Am and what's his name?
Dielende.
Yeah, those guys. Phenomenal players. Like, really looking forward to watching those play. Am was insane for the South Africa A team, so... You know,
we're talking moments ago there, 15, LaRue, former World Player of the Year nominee. You're dead right. This is a very, very dangerous team. We're hoping it will all be decided on the pitch. And, you know, obviously I'm objective and clearly could never state something like Go Lions. But there has been a lot of controversy, hasn't there, about TMO this week. I just got to ask you guys, is this just a little bit of a... gamesmanship, psychology, or do you think there's something in this? What's your thoughts on the South African being the TMO?
Now, I think it's a weird topic, because you're hoping as a TMO he's neutral as possible, but with him being South African, you can't help but blame decisions where they may just be human error on the fact that he's a South African. That's the talking point, where, like, it leaves room for controversy, no matter the result.
I mean, I tell you what, the journos of the world, they're already kind of in their weird way perversely looking forward to that. I'm telling you. But there we go. I personally hope it will be a non-factor. But one of the things that, obviously, as you appreciate, come game time, it's all about these fantastic players going at it toe-to-toe. It's going to be a war. It's going to be fantastic. But you've mentioned Gatland there. What a record he's got. If they are able to do it across this three-match series, he'll become the first British Lion manager all time to win in South Africa, Australia and New Zealand. I mean, that's amazing. Already, of course, then, has done it in Australia and New Zealand. great guy, as you know, Joe, from his Welsh perspective. I mean, that's an amazing CV. His rugby IQ off the charts. We are in safe hands with Gats at the helm, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. And that's probably why I've not, like, torn too much into the team. Like, there might have been, like, a few selections I personally wouldn't have made, but I think I've just had this inherent trust in Gatland ever since it was the 2011 World Cup, where Wales, they looked like they could have won the World Cup, but that red card. And I remember bunking a lesson from school to watch that game. I approached my maths teacher and I was like, "Hello, Wales are playing in the semi-final. Like, I know we've got a test, but can I please watch it?" And she was like, "Joe, I can't sanction this." I walked in with my tail between my legs after Wales had lost and had bunked the lesson, knowing I would get.
That's such a great moment because, you know, imagine if they'd won, man. We can always figure out trigonometry another day. But
exactly. But Gatland, he's phenomenal. Like, as a coach, I think he really gets the best out of players. He's a real cool head. I think there's been a lot of sort of like mind games and, you know, trying to get into the South African, like sort of headspace and wind them up. And Razzy Erasmus is just as much a bit of a nose like that as well. And I also, I love the fact, like, obviously, you know, support the England team, but it feels like Warren Gatland is also trying to wind up Eddie Jones throughout tour. You know, taking players that Jones has overlooked for so long. And
as you rightly say, Daly plays at his outside centre chosen position. So, fantastic.
Exactly.
It all sets. I'm going to go back now to Jack. Going to ask you quickly, don't overthink it. What's your prediction for the game this afternoon or this evening?
I think it's going to be a similar scoreline to the South Africa A game, but the Lions will edge it this time, where it's going to be 17-15 Lions.
Nice, I like that. Joe, your head on the block time. What's your thoughts on the game results? And give us a scoreline too.
I think this game is going to go to the Lions. I just think South Africa probably not cooked enough. And I think the loss to South Africa A was kind of what the Lions needed to make sure they don't start slow. I think it's going to, I think we could actually do them quite well. I think it's going to be 21-12 is what I'm going to go for to the Lions.
I think it's going to be close. I'm seeing a Lions victory. I think we will edge it up front, but my word, it's going to be fun. Now, I'm going to throw a complete curveball here because it's not going to happen, but I've been so impressed with Marcus Smith. What an amazing, we talk form, it was probably the most on-form rugby player on planet Earth right now, what he did with Harlequins, what he then did with England, and my word, looks rather good in the Lions 10. I personally would have picked him at 10. I think he's impressed me that much, maybe a little bit too soon. Nevertheless, though, the reason I bring up Marcus Smith is because you guys at the V's were really lucky recently to be coached by one of his teammates from Quins. Tell us a bit more about it, Joe.
Yeah, so we're fortunate enough to have Will Edwards down, who is like the sort of second ten at Harlequins to Smith. And yeah, he put us for our paces, sort of Quins style, with a lot of like skill games. And it was really good, like different session, good energy as well. And it was, yeah, fun to like talk to him about like how Harlequins kind of turned their season around as well, and the style of rugby they play. Because obviously they, you know, got rid of Paul Gustard halfway through the year, looked like they were falling apart, and then out of nowhere they're playing the best rugby I've ever seen in the Premiership.
Zeros to heroes, right? I mean, goodness me.
Exactly. And it just spoke, you know, he spoke a lot about how it was just, it came from the players, you know, and individually everyone stepped up and they decided they wanted to play the rugby that they wanted to play, and they wanted to enjoy it. And it just shows, and, you know, it allowed them to flourish so well. And it's amazing. Yeah, no, we're really thankful to Wilford, like, taking time out to come down as well. Good session.
That sounds like something a bit special. Obviously, great to pick the brains of an elite level rugby player too. But just generally, Jack, it must be great to be back training and, I guess, building now towards the season return.
Yeah, it's so good to be back. We're heading into our fifth week of pre-season now, and we've got like a really good collective movement here. We've got a good group of players, and having sessions like a Will Edwards run session just really adds to this whole journey of the rebuild that V's are going on. And it's just building week on week for when our league starts in October.
and time flies, that will be upon us real soon. Again, building this, there is that sense from talking to you both of a real kind of core team spirit here, which is obviously, as we know, going to be vital to the Lions, and it's vital to any rugby success. Joe, maybe people listening want to bite in to that team ethos and perhaps add something to your team. How can we learn more about the Verulaniums?
Yeah, so the easiest way to kind of learn more about it is just to follow us on social media. We're most active on Instagram, but we do have a Twitter as well. It's just at Verulaniums RFC. Should be nice and easy to find. But yeah, I'll encourage anyone to get involved. If you want to come down, we're training Tuesdays and Thursdays. We start at 7:30. And feel free to drop any message on the social media as well beforehand. But yeah, or you can just rock up. We welcome players of any ability, any shape, any size. We're not exclusive. Just come down with a good attitude. Like if you want to play rugby, you want to get involved, you want to improve. If you just want a social, you know, improve your social life, that sort of thing. That is what we're all about. And yeah, it's a really, really good vibe we've got going on at the moment. A lot of players really bought in. So yeah, it's an exciting time to be down at the V's. And yeah.
Literally something for everybody there. That spirit of rugby comes to the fore. Remind me once again, Joe, of the best way to engage with you social media wise.
Yeah, so probably just give us a follow. Give us a follow, share all our stuff, like it, be our biggest fan, comment on everything. Yeah, but yeah, it's just at Verulaniums RFC, Instagram, Twitter. We do have a Facebook page, it's probably less active. But yeah, that's just kind of like where our first team sort of interacts are on the other platforms. But yeah, come check us out and come join the V's. Come join the party.
Absolutely. Get involved. I'm sure you will not regret doing that. Jack, in closing, anything you'd like to add, either about the big one, the Lions, or just your experiences being a V?
Where to start? Firstly, I just such anticipation for this Lions series. I can't wait for it to get kicked off, and I'm sure whatever result, it'll be a historical series with everything that's going on. And then with these, once again, like anyone and everyone is welcome. And we want more people to come join us on what we're doing down at the club. So yeah, engage on the socials, come down, join us for training and welcome aboard.
Love that. And it's been lovely to enjoy your company. I am so excited, just a matter of hours away from the big one, the Lions. We'll keep in touch. We'll keep building up for the V's as the October date draws nearer. But for today, thank you ever so much indeed for your time. And yeah, keep well, getting a few beers in perhaps to enjoy the game. Have a good one, lads. Yeah. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. And up
thank
the Lions.
Thank you very much.
And up the V's.
Take care, guys. Michael V's.